Markus, quick question before we start. When you use AI for your work, honestly, how much faster are you?
Honestly, 20% maybe. On a good day, 30.
Would you bet money on that?
Why does that question scare me?
Because someone put a stopwatch on people exactly like you. Experienced, confident, 20 years in the business.
And?
They felt 20% faster. They were 19% slower.
Slower.
Slower. And that gap between what we feel and what the clock says, that's the whole episode today.
Great. Now I have to re-examine my entire life.
After the jingle, you have 8 seconds. Everyone, welcome to Sarah's Tech. I'm Sarah, and before anything else today, full transparency. I don't exist.
Still the best opening this show has ever had.
I mean it literally. This podcast carries my name, and I'm not real. My voice is synthetic. My personality is a writing device. Everything I say was researched, written, and signed off by the very real man next to me, Markus. Say hi.
Hi, I'm the one who exists. Wow! For context for new listeners, I've been in the internet business since 2000. Classical media before that, across Europe more or less. So I've seen a few hype cycles come and go. Sarah is my co-creation and my toughest editor.
And here's why we open with this confession, today of all days. From August 2nd, telling you that I'm synthetic becomes the law. Article 50 of the EU AI Act, transparency rules for AI voices, images, text. We report on those rules all the time, so we apply them to ourselves first. Full explainer in the show notes. Right, housekeeping done. Markus, what's on the menu?
3 courses. First, a status report from The Wall. What happened around the AI Act in the last 8 weeks? Quite a lot. Second, a fresh study. 800 industrial decision makers across Europe asked about digital strategy and AI. The results look great. Suspiciously great.
And third, we flip the picture. Same topic, seen from below. The people who actually build the stuff. Developers, freelancers, web workers. They tell a very different story.
Top floor versus workbench.
Let's go!
August 2nd, 3 weeks away. Markus, you've been tracking this. What's the state of play?
Busy, really busy. Brussels delivered 3 things since we last covered this. Thing 1. On May 8th, the Commission published draft guidelines for Article 50. The first real interpretation of what these transparency rules actually mean. Consultation closed in June, final version expected any day.
Thing 2.
June 10th, the Code of Practice on AI-generated content. And this one is surprisingly concrete. The EU designed actual icons, a little label, AI plus generated for fully synthetic content, modified for edited stuff.
Hold on. Official EU icons for AI content?
Official EU icons. And here's the detail that matters. The label has to sit inside the content. Top right corner of the image, for example. A note in the caption? Not enough. You post a deepfake on Instagram, mention it only in the text below. Violation.
Stricter than most people assume. And thing 3?
The omnibus. This is where everyone gets it wrong. People read the EU is delaying the AI Act and stop preparing. Wrong conclusion. Yes, the high-risk rules got pushed to 2027 and 2028. But the transparency rules arrive on time, August 2nd. One small exception. Generative AI systems already on the market before August get until December 2nd, only for the machine-readable marking. Only the old systems. Everything else on schedule.
So if you paused your compliance work because of a headline, bad idea.
Very bad idea. And one thing makes Article 50 special. Compare it to NIS2 for a second. A company violates NIS2, nobody sees it from outside. Article 50 is the opposite. Anyone can check it, with their eyes. You see a video, no label. That's already a red flag you can report.
Enforcement by anyone with a smartphone.
Exactly. And I'll say this as someone who lived through the early cookie law years. When a rule is visible on the surface of a website, the cease and desist industry shows up fast. Lawyers expect complaints, and in Germany probably formal warning letters too. The German implementation law passed the Bundestag on June 11th. The Bundesnetzagentur gets the enforcement job. Fines up to 15 million euros or 3% of global revenue.
Reality check for our listeners. Who does this actually hit? Not just AI companies?
Not even close. Anyone publishing AI content professionally. Marketing teams, agencies, publishers, podcasters. And one example that genuinely surprised me. The draft guidelines list AI translation as content that needs marking. Translation. Grammar checking is fine, that counts as standard editing. But if AI translates your article into English, that's a semantic change under these rules.
Which affects this very show, our English companion posts.
Directly, the good news. There's an exemption for text a human genuinely reviewed. And genuinely is the keyword. The guidelines are strict. Skimming it once doesn't count. Real editorial review. Someone reads the content, can change it, can reject it, takes named responsibility. Do that, document it, and you're out of the labeling duty for text.
Summary for August 2nd then. Labels arrive on time, icons exist, enforcement is easy. The safest position is a documented human in the loop. Okay, now to the study. Fresh numbers, the FACES survey published in June. 800 decision makers from industrial companies, 8 countries, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Poland, Austria, the Netherlands, Sweden. Fieldwork in May. The question behind it. How digital is European industry really? Markus, give me the headline numbers.
They sound fantastic. Almost 9 in 10 companies say they have a digitalization strategy. 88%. Now hold on tight. 80% say they have an AI strategy. In place. Today.
80% of European industrial SMEs with an AI strategy.
Germany and Italy even report around 95%. And it gets better. 92% plan to launch new digital business models within 3 years. Everyone is transforming. Everyone has a plan.
Do you believe that number?
Short answer, no. Long answer, let's do the source criticism properly. This is an online panel, self-reported answers. 100 respondents per country, so the country comparisons are rough. And there's social pressure baked in. Ask a manager, does your company have an AI strategy? Who says no? Nobody says no. A strategy can also just be a slide, 2 paragraphs on the intranet. The survey can't tell the difference. I've sat in enough boardrooms since the dot-com days to know there's always a strategy. The question is whether anyone downstairs has heard of it.
Plus, look at who's behind the study. FACES sits in the European cloud ecosystem, the 8RA initiative, funded by the EU and the German Economics Ministry. So a study from the European cloud world measures demand for European cloud. Doesn't make the data wrong, but you should know it.
Fits our running theme. Even the market research is part of the ecosystem. But now the interesting part. Because inside this glossy study, 3 findings are genuinely revealing. Finding 1. Ask these companies what they need from digital infrastructure. Top answer, security and compliance, 60%. Second, cost, 49%. And data sovereignty? Third place, 43%.
Third place. After all the sovereignty noise from Berlin, Paris, and Brussels, the actual buyer says, make it secure, make it cheap. Sovereignty, nice to have.
Which sharpens something we've argued before on the show. The sovereign cloud doesn't sell on patriotism. It sells on compliance anxiety. The customer isn't buying Europe. The customer is buying protection from the regulator.
Finding 2, my favorite. They asked, do you see Europe as one unified market for digital business? 53% overall said yes. Markus, which country feels the most unity?
Germany, 66%. And the least? France, 45%. Think about that. France, the loudest voice for European sovereignty, feels the most fragmented. Germany, whose companies keep announcing pan-European cloud ambitions, wears the rosiest glasses. There's a matching detail. Asked about infrastructure needs, only the Germans rank scalability across countries high, 47%. Everyone else, around 25%.
Germany dreams the European dream. Alone.
That's a punchline and a warning. If you build for a unified market that only you believe in, your business plan has a problem. I saw this movie in the 2000s, by the way. Every German portal wanted to roll out across Europe. Most rollouts died at the first border. Different market, different habits, different law. The map hasn't changed as much as the slides suggest.
Finding 3. The gap between talking and doing.
Right. Remember, 88% have a strategy. Then the study asks how companies actually work together on digital business. Structured collaboration with a few chosen partners, fine, about half do that. But real ecosystem building, orchestrating platforms, multiple stakeholders, the thing every keynote demands, 1-12%. Austria, literally 0.
0% ecosystem orchestration in Austria. Somewhere, a LinkedIn influencer just fainted.
The serious point, though. The study itself puts it well. The real divide in Europe isn't between digital leaders and laggards. It's between companies that have a strategy and companies that have an execution engine.
Which is the thesis of this show. One level down. Europe can write strategies. Europe struggles to execute them. Same pattern at company level that we keep finding at continent level. One stereotype breaker before we move on?
A good one. Guess who trails in this study? Sweden and the Netherlands. The digital poster children. The Netherlands reports the lowest share of modern infrastructure, 58%. Italy, of all countries, is near the top. Check your clichés at the door.
Top floor summary. Everyone has a strategy. Everyone has a plan. Half the market doesn't believe in the market. Execution is rare. Now let's go downstairs. Jingle! Because here's the thing. 80% of bosses claim an AI strategy. So the people doing the work must be thrilled. Are they, Markus?
Let's check. Stack Overflow surveys developers every year. 49,000 responses, 177 countries. The biggest snapshot of the trade there is. And the headline finding is a paradox. Usage up, trust down. Way down.
Numbers.
84% of developers use AI tools or plan to, up from 76% the year before. Half of professional developers use them daily. Adoption is basically done. But trust in the accuracy of the output fell from 40% to 29%.
29.
And it gets sharper. More developers actively distrust AI output than trust it. 46 versus 33. Only 3% say they highly trust it. 3. The general mood follows. Favorable views dropped from over 70% to 60% in 1 year. The honeymoon is over.
Who's most skeptical?
That's the detail that should worry every manager with an AI strategy slide. The seniors. The most experienced developers show the highest distrust. The people who know what good code looks like trust the tools least, and they'll tell you exactly why. The number one frustration, named by 2/3, AI solutions that are almost right, but not quite. Wow! Almost right sounds good. Almost right is poison. The code looks fine, it compiles, and the bug surfaces 3 weeks later in production. 45% say debugging AI code eats more time than it saves.
Okay, that's what developers feel, but feelings can lie. Which brings us back to the very top of the show. Markus, remember what you told me before the jingle? 20% faster with AI, 30 on a good day.
You set me up. Fine, time to pay that bill. The stopwatch study. METR, a research lab, a proper randomized experiment. 16 very experienced open source developers, people with exactly my level of confidence. 246 real tasks from their own projects. A coin flip decides. This task with AI, that one without. Screens recorded, time measured.
Say the numbers again, slowly.
With AI, they were 19% slower. Wow! Slower, not faster. And now the eerie part. Afterwards, the same developers estimated they'd been 20% faster. Which is, word for word, what I claimed in the cold open. They felt the speed up. The stopwatch showed a slowdown, a 40-point gap between feeling and reality.
Small study though, 16 people.
Fair and worth saying, but the design is clean and it explains so much. Managers measure the feeling, the demo, the vibe in the meeting. Practitioners live the debugging. That's why the top floor is euphoric and the workbench is skeptical. Both honestly report what they see. I remember the same split from the CMS wave around 2002. Every demo was magic, every migration was a year of pain. Some patterns just wear new clothes.
Global picture done, now the local one. Our web workers. Freelancers, agencies, the DACH scene. Two big platform studies this spring. 3,000 freelancers on one platform, 5,000 plus on the other. What did they say?
Honestly, the results surprised me. I expected more skepticism. Instead, pragmatism. 53% of freelancers use AI daily, another 23% weekly. Daily use has almost tripled in 2 years, and 76% say AI is not a threat to their work.
Not a threat, but not harmless either, right?
Three numbers deserve attention. 1. 18% say AI has already pushed their hourly rates down. Not might, has. 2. The top worries are practical. Data protection, error rates, rising client expectations. Clients now assume everything goes faster, so budgets shrink. And 3. The quiet one. Asked whether they tell clients about their AI use, 44% don't actively communicate it. Another 37 don't touch the topic at all. So the typical freelancer uses AI every day and doesn't talk about it.
Which becomes a real problem in 3 weeks. We just did a whole segment on disclosure. If AI wrote it and no human genuinely reviewed it, certain published texts need a label. So who carries that duty? The agency? The freelancer? The publisher?
The guidelines leave that chain open, deliberately or not, which means it lands in your contracts. Whoever ignores it inherits the risk.
And so nobody thinks freelancers are living their best life right now. The market context?
Rough. 23% of IT freelancers report declining orders. 43% have no secured bookings for the coming months. The real anxiety out there isn't the robot. It's the order book. AI is the amplifier of the uncertainty, not the source.
Let me put the two floors next to each other. Top floor. 80% have an AI strategy. 92% plan new business models. Workbench. 29% trust the output, and the stopwatch says 19% slower. Someone here is wrong.
Or nobody is. That's the uncomfortable answer. The manager honestly reports the strategy. The developer honestly reports the distrust. The gap between them is where European digitalization actually happens, or doesn't. And no regulation fixes that gap. No omnibus, no sovereign cloud. That one is on the companies themselves.
Practical part, short and concrete. First, benchmark yourself against the study. Three questions, listeners. Does your company have an AI strategy that is more than a slide? Do you see Europe as one market, or are you quietly building for one country? And are you doing real partnerships or just talking about ecosystems?
Answer those three honestly, and you know more about your company than most consultants will tell you.
Second, the August 2nd checklist. Markus, four steps.
Step 1. Inventory. Which tools in your workflow generate content other people see? Text, images, audio, video? Write the list. Step 2. The review question, per channel. Where does a human genuinely check the output? Genuinely. Reads it, can change it, takes responsibility. Document that. It's your exemption for text. Step 3. Plan for the labels. The EU icons exist. If you publish synthetic images or video, the label goes into the content, not the caption. Build it into your templates now, not on August 1st. Step 4. Contracts. Freelancer or client? Who discloses AI use? Who reviews? Who carries editorial responsibility? The rules leave that chain open. Close it yourselves. One paragraph in the agreement.
And a fifth point, for the freelancer specifically. That silence about AI use. Rethink it. Not just because of the law. The disclosure conversation is coming anyway. The ones who bring it up first, with a clear quality process behind it, look professional. The ones who get asked, look caught.
Say it before they ask. That's the whole trick. Old media rule, by the way. It survived every technology I've worked with. And it's what this show did today, right at the top.
Let's land this, today in 1 minute. The transparency rules arrive on August 2nd, on time, with icons, easy to enforce. The top floor of European industry reports near total readiness, 80% AI strategies. The workbench trusts the output at 29%, and the stopwatch sides with the workbench.
And the lesson connects both halves. The divide runs between strategy and execution. The developer data shows exactly where that divide lives, in the gap between how AI feels and what it delivers. Companies that measure the feeling will write great slides. Companies that measure the output will win.
We want your version of this. Are you the manager with the strategy? The developer with the trust problem? The freelancer deciding whether to tell the client? Write to us. Best stories make it into a future episode. Anonymous if you want.
All sources in the show notes. The developer survey, the stopwatch study, the faces survey, the freelancer studies, the Article 50 guidelines, the code of practice with the icons, everything linked.
Thanks for listening. This was Sarah's Tech, a show hosted by someone who doesn't exist.
With facts that very much do. Take care. See you after August 2nd. Ciao.
Sarah's got a glow in her hands tonight. Golden circuit sliding up the fight. Fingers dancing on the keys so bright. Building worlds out of digital light. Binary beats pulse through her veins. Electric whispers driving through the rain. She's the spark in the wide domain. A tech queen breaking every chain.
perfect out, solving riddles when the power goes out. Wired dreams, she's mapping the route. In the silence, hear her shout.
She's a firewall to the world's decay, turning glitches into a brighter day. Every bite she bends, every line she lays, Sarah's tech makes the chaos obey.
Tech with Sarah, she's rewriting the sky. Algorithm soaring, we're learning to fly.
She's the code breaker, the